Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Ksubos Daf Mem Tes. We are holding right on top of the Amud, beginning with the word Ve'ema. Let's go back a bit to yesterday's sugya. We learned that a girl, a Nara, while still by her father, is considered in the rishus of her father. He assumes all rights, obligations, he has all the privileges, which were discussed the last couple of days. As soon as she's in the husband's rishus, she was handed over to him for chuppah, for marriage. Now he takes over that status. What happens if it's somewhere in the middle? The husband sent somebody to pick her up. So she was handed to the shliach, the emissary of the Baal. We had a machlekes yesterday, whether that's considered an initiation of some sort, initiation of marriage, or not. However, the Gemara concluded, according to all shittos, there is some changeover in status. As soon as she enters the semi-rishus of the husband, as long as she was picked up by the shliach of her husband, she's already considered somewhat an eishes ish pertaining to the einish for zanus. If zanus occurs at that point, instead of treating her like a nara hamu'urasa, an engaged girl, in which case skila would apply, we treat her like a married woman, in which case death by choking, chenek, would apply at that point. Asks the Gemara, ve'ema, what about the following question? Perhaps, sure, while she's in the company of the husband's shliach, we treat her this way. But let's say, ve'ema, let's say, hecha dehadrut lebein nashra. Suppose she has a change of heart and she turns around and goes back home. She was already on her way to her husband's home, being accompanied by the husband's shaliach, and now she turns around, makes a U-turn, and goes back to her father. Hecha dehadrut lebein nashra, she goes back to her home. Hadrut lemilsaka maisa, perhaps her status should totally revert to the way it was beforehand. Is that so? So Rashi learns, the Gemara is just presenting a question mark. Would indeed the halacha change if she would decide to go back home? Or do we say no? Once she's sort of in her husband's rishos, she left her father's rishos, it's too late. In which case, the oinish fiznus would remain as chenek. So basically it's a shaila on this specific halacha. Regarding Znus at that point, once she's in the company of the Baal Shaliach, it's chenek. What happens if she turns around and goes back home? Amarava, it stays the way it is. Once she assumes this new status, we treat her as married pertaining to the halacha of Znus. She maintains that status irrespective of whether she follows through with marriage or not. Amarava, who? That case, Kfar Paska Tana Tvire Bishmol was ready. Determined and established by the Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, This is a halacha regarding Hafaras Nedarim. Typically, a father can interfere with his daughter's nether when she's still in his rishus. And likewise, once she's married, the husband can do the same. The pasuk says, "V'nei der almano grusha," a nether, a vow, expressed by a widow or an isha who is divorced. Whatever she commits to stands. Nobody can get in the way of that. Well, of course, there's nobody in her life who would have the ability to interfere. She's already out of her father's rishus. She had already been married. So he's out of the picture. And likewise, there's no husband to speak of. She's divorced. She's an almana. So what's the point of this pasuk? What is the pasuk trying to tell us? Ma Talmud Loimer, what's the purpose of this pasuk? Mahaloi, Mutzeis Michlal Av, she's already out of her father's possession. Mutzeis Michlal Baal, and likewise, she's out of her husband's domain. What's the point of the pasuk teaching us that the nether in this state stands, it holds? Of course it does. Ella, rather, it's for this case, the case that we're dealing with all along. She's sort of in the middle, in no man's land. Hareisha Masara Av, Ushluchi Abal. Suppose father handed her over to the shliach of the husband to take her to his home for marriage. Oyshe Masru, Shluchi Av, Ushluchi Abal. Or father had sent her with some shluchim, and they encountered the shluchim of the husband, and she was handed over to them. Vinis Armala Baderich, Oynis Garsha, and something occurs. She became an almana suddenly, or a grusha. How do we treat her now? Heich ani koreba. How should I treat her? Which home does she relate to? With whom does she identify? Husband or father? Beis Aviyah Shazu, she's connected to her father's home. Oy Beis Bala Shazu, or her former husband's home, meaning who's going to have the ability? To get involved with her nether. Can her father still have a say in this matter? Or the fact that she was already handed over to the shliach of the Baal, he relinquished all rights. She identified for that time being with her husband, and father can no longer interfere. Ela loy melecha. Rather, the pasuk is telling you like this. You're not sure how to deal with her? I'll tell you how to deal with her. Kivan sheyotza she'achas mishus av. Once she leaves her father's rishus, even for just a moment, by being sent along with the shliach of the Baal, he loses his rights. Shuv einoy yochay lahafer. So even though husband no longer has her, he passed away, he divorced, she does not return to her father's possession. So clearly, once she leaves, she doesn't come back. Likewise, in the case of the znus, once she identifies as a married woman pertaining to the chenek, which substitutes for skila, even if some change occurs as she goes back home, her status remains. Omra papa afanana mitanina. We actually have another mishnah which supports that braisa, that once she is in the company of the shliach habal, her einish is chenek. Habo al nara hamuras, a fellow gets involved with a nara who is engaged. Einu chayiv. The chayiv skila will only be if she conforms to the following. Achetehi nara. She has to be during that, you know, that age period of nara. Bisula murasa, engaged. And she still is part of her father's household. That's the Mishnah. Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Let's analyze the Mishnah. Bishlo min Nara. I certainly understand that the term Nara is trying to exclude a Bogeris. But if she's past Nara, she's already a mature adult. Not included. Bisula, v'loy bula, we exclude the bula. Murasa, engaged, v'loy nesua, excluding married. Okay. But what about Bebeis Aviyah Limutei Mai? What's that coming to exclude? Lav Limutei apparently has come to exclude this case of Ma Sara'av. L'shluchei Abal. Even if the father just handed her over to the, not to the husband himself, but to his shliach, she no longer identifies with Beis Aviyah. And therefore the halacha of Na'ara Murasa would not apply. So it's a clear raya that she is treated as an Eishes Ish pertaining to Chenek. Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchak. We have another Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Habal ish es ish. If a fellow gets involved with a married woman, as soon as she enters the husband's jurisdiction for the sake of marriage, even though her new husband had not yet interacted with her as married, if one gets involved with the isha at this point, the einish is chenek. So the Mishnah is clearly is telling us that nichnas halushus habal ba'alma. As soon as she just gets into the rishus of Baal, even she's in the company of his shliach, that's considered rishus habal, and her einish will change to chenek shma minor. That's a riot in this halach. Continues the Mishnah. We're going to speak about whether or not a father is obligated, whether or not he has a mitzvah, to feed his children. Hav einu chayev b'mezonos pitei. The truth is that a father is not obligated. I mean, hadin is, we do it, but he's not obligated to feed his daughter during his lifetime. And the Gemara will deal with this question, why the Mishnah specifies daughter over son. In any case, during his lifetime, he doesn't really have to support his children. Ze midrash darash. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So the following was a drasha presented by the new Nasi, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, on the day that he was appointed Nasi, Lefnei Chachamim, from the Chachamim, Bekar B'Yavna, in the vineyard in Yavna. So the Chachamim would sit in rows like a vineyard, and he got up and he told them as follows. You know, there are two takonis in the Iksuba, one pertaining to sons and one pertaining to daughters. If an Isha brings a nedunya, which means the items which were recorded in the Ksuba, and she brings it into the marriage. And now she happens to have her set of children from a different marriage, and he has his set of children. She knows that if she passes away during her husband's lifetime, all the nedunya property will go to her husband, and then ultimately when he dies, it's going to be distributed evenly amongst all the children. She doesn't want that. She wants to avoid that type of situation. She doesn't want her properties to go over to her husband's set of kids, which aren't her kids. So she makes a deal, which is actually enacted in the Ksuba. It's a formal takanos chachamim. It's called Ksubas Benin Dichrin, the Scharim children. They will get her Ksuba, meaning she can stipulate that I would like my own children, my own set of children, who aren't your children, to have the items of my ksuba. I wanted to stay in the family, as a family estate, a family heirloom. I wanted to stay in the family. So that's one takana, pertaining to boys. In addition, we have a takana pertaining to daughters. A person passes on, leaves behind an estate, his daughters will draw their support. They will be fed and clothed from this fellow's estate. So we have these two takanas in a ksuba. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah made sort of a drasha, a connection, a correlation between the two. Both pertain to the same time zone. Habanim Yeshu, we have one takana, boys are yoresh the ksuba of their mother. Second takana is v'habonis yizonu, daughters get their mezonos from the departed father's estate. We connect the two things. Ma habanim einon yoshin el acham misas ha'av, just as these sons will only have access to that ksuba after their father's passing. So it's an after-death type of arrangement. And likewise, the takana pertains to daughters being supported from his property. That's only after his passing, but during his lifetime, there is no chiyuv to support him. Says the Gemara, I have a diuk from the Mishnah. A father is not chayiv b'mezonos bitoy. Why specify bita? B'mezonos bita yudeini chayev. Only his daughters. He's not chayev. Ha b'mezonos b'nei chayev. Do you mean to say that he must support his sons? Number one. So it's not a question mark, it's just a statement. It's mashma in the Mishnah. B'mezonos bita, he's not chayev. But his sons, he is chayev. That's number one. Number two, we see from the Mishnah. Bita inami. Chayev u'deleka. There's no chayev to feed a daughter. But there's a mitzvah to it. Which mitzvah? So the Rashbam and Baba Basra says, look, it's a very basic mitzvah of umibsarcha al tisalim. Don't ignore the plight of the closest ones to you. Your own family. Umibsarcha al tisalim. It's a mitzvah. So these two points appear out of the lashon of the Mishnah. Number one, he's chayev b'mezonos b'noy. Number two, daughter, although not a chayev, but it is a mitzvah. So daughter is a mitzvah, son is a chayev. Now we have a problem on our hands. Mani Masnisen, who's the author of our Mishnah? We have three shittas. It's none of them. Lo Rabbi Meir, it doesn't fit with Rabbi Meir's approach to this whole sugya. Lo Rabbi Yehuda, nor Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo Rabbi Yechonon Breike. The Sanya, listen to this price. Mitzvah lozen es habonis. Although there's no chayev, but there's a mitzvah to feed daughters Kal v'cher melebonim to ask about Torah, certainly sons, because they're involved in learning. It's almost like it's part of your mitzvah to teach them, so you support them so that they learn. Who she does this? Divrei Rabbi Meir. A mitzvah to feed sons and certainly daughters and certainly sons. Rabbi Daimer, he also agrees that there's a mitzvah to feed both, but he works the other way. Mitzvah laws in Nesabonim. There's a mitzvah to feed sons. V'kal v'chemi l'bonis, and certainly daughters mishum zilusa, to allow them to maintain their dignity. So a mitzvah to feed sons and certainly daughters. Rabbi Meir says daughters and certainly sons. Rabbi Yechon Berko Aimer, he disagrees. It's only after passing, after death. After father's passing, he's obligated to take care of his daughters by having them accommodated through his assets. But during father's lifetime, there is no chiv and there is no mitzvah. So back to the Mishnah. Mani mas nisen, whose shita is our Mishnah following? It's inconsistent with all three shittas just mentioned. I Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, who said that there is a mitzvah for both, sons and daughters. Ha'amar banim mitzvah. So Rabbi Meir tells us that there's a mitzvah for daughters, and certainly sons, because of their Isaac and Torah. But it's just a mitzvah. In our Mishnah, it sounded like there was a chayva by sons, not just a mitzvah. So that doesn't work. Rabbi Yehuda, let's take a look at Rabbi Yehuda. Well, that doesn't either work. Ha'amar bonim nami mitzvah. Because, according to Rabbi Yehuda as well, there's a mitzvah to feed sons. No chayva. Rabbi Yechon Breika, well, according to him, afilu mitzvah nami lak, there isn't even a mitzvah for both sons and daughters during his lifetime. So it's inconsistent with either shita. Ibo Yisema, one way to learn is like this. Rabbi Meir. Our Tana is Rabbi Meir. Ibo Yisema, Rabbi Yehuda, it could be Rabbi Yehuda. Ibo Yisema, Rabbi Yechon Breik, or Rabbi Yechon Breik. The more explains. Ibo Yisema, Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah could be following shita's Rabbi Meir, who said that there is a mitzvah to feed daughters and certainly sons because of the Torah. Vachikam, and the Mishnah means like this. There is no chiv to feed daughters. Same thing with sons. There's no chiv. Ha mitzvah b'bita ika. But a mitzvah, there is a mitzvah to feed a daughter. Kal v'chemer l'banim, and certainly sons because of the Torah element within them. So the question was, why does the Mishnah point out daughters? V'haydik tani b'bita. The reason why the Mishnah did that. That even a daughter who is not involved in Torah, although there's no chayv, but there is still a mitzvah. The chiddush there is that even a daughter would have a mitzvah because she's still your daughter. So the Mishnah will tell us that there is no chiyuv by son or daughter, but there is a mitzvah by both. Or the Mishnah could be following Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah is like this. Of any chayev b'mzaynis pita, there's no chiyev by daughter. V'koshken l'bnoi, and certainly by a son, because there is no zilusa, there's no shame and embarrassment element as much as a daughter. So certainly a son has no chiyev. Ha mitzvah b'bnoi ika, but there is a mitzvah to feed a son. V'kal v'chem l'bnoi, and certainly a daughter because of the zilusa aspect, the shame and embarrassment element. V'adik tani pita. So why then does the Mishnah point out daughter if daughter and son are really the same? There's no chiv and there is a mitzvah, so why mention daughter? How come Ashman the chiddush is afilu bita yichayv aleka? Even a daughter where there's an extra zilusa element, perhaps due to that shame and embarrassment component, there would be a chiv to support daughter. The chiddush is no. So the bottom line is, there's no chiv by son or daughter, but there is a mitzvah. Another pshat can be Rabbi Yechon Breika. Our mission is following Rabbi Yechon Vachika Amar, and the mission means like this. There's no chiyuv by daughter. V'adin l'bnoi, the same by son. Because during his lifetime, there's no chiyuv. V'adin, and the truth is, da'afilu mitzvah na'milekha, the same thing would apply to mitzvah. There's no mitzvah during his lifetime. V'aydi. So the question is, why does the Mishnah say that there is no chayiv to feed a daughter during his lifetime, which almost sounds like you're saying there was a mitzvah. No. The reason why the Mishnah picked this type of language, v'aydi debonais la'achar misas aviyin chayiv, because there is a chayiv to feed a daughter after passing, after death. Therefore, the Mishnah used a matching, contrasting language. Tana nami einu chayiv. So while referring to his lifetime, the Mishnah chose the Lashon Eino Chayiv, in contrast to after death, where he is Chayiv. So the bottom line is, we have three Shittas, which are really two Shittas. We have Rabbeinu Rabbi Yehuda who hold that there is a mitzvah to feed son and daughter during his lifetime, whereas Rabbi Yochanan Breker disagrees, there is no mitzvah. Amar B'la, Amar Shlakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina. Now the Gemara will embark on a long list of takonis, which were enacted when the Sanhedrin, you know, the Sanhedrin went through many stops, many goliaths, many exiles, one of which was in the town called Usha. So the Sanhedrin Gedolah, when it was in Usha, they were masakin several takonis, one of which pertained to a father's obligation vis-a-vis feeding his children. So, Usha Yiskinu, in the town of Usha, they were masakin shehei adam zones bonav es bnoisav shein tanim. Although there is no chiyuv to do so, but there is a takana that one should look after his children while they're young. Now, Tosis points out, based on the Gemara later, until 6 years old, it's certainly a chiyuv, an absolute obligation, that's totally dependent on you. Of course, you have to feed them. The takanas Usha pertain to beyond 6 years old. At that point, he's absolved, there's no real chiyuv. They were masakin, yes, a person should do so. And Rashi says, until they become an adult. Iboilu, so the question is, Hilchasakavasei, oy ein Hilchasakavasei, the Alochalamasa, do we paskin, do we actually follow this shita of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina, the name of Usha, that there is a takana to feed children or not? Is it an obligation based on the takana, or is it just a voluntary? Toshma, we have a raya that indeed we do not adopt this takana. It's commendable. It's done for the most part, but it's not a chiv. Toshma, ki ava'ah, so the kamed Rabbi Yehuda. When these fellows who refused to accommodate their family would come to Rabbi Yehuda, Amarlu, he would tell them. He would give them some strong musar. He would admonish them. Yarud yolda. Yarud, Rashi says, a tanin. Perhaps a snake. The Tosfos said it was a certain type of bird. It was an achzori on his children. Doesn't really care about his family. So the yarud, referring to this fellow here, was a head of a household, but not looking after his kids. Yarud yolda, yarud gives birth, v'abnei mosa. And then on the townspeople, on the community, Shadia tosses her kids, her offspring. You have a family, take care of them. It's your obligation. So bottom line is, he didn't really force him. But he... He tried to set him straight, but it wasn't forced, which almost sounds like that it wasn't really a chiv. And in fact, that's what the Gemara is proving from here. The fact that he didn't force him is a raya that we don't really adopt the takana of Usha. It's not an obligation, but very much preferred and advisable. Kava osel kamed Rav Chisda, when these individuals who had come to Rav Chisda, Amar Lahu, he would tell them like this, Kafule asita, go overturn a mortar, basically put down a stool with tzibura in public, v'leikum. Allah and this uncaring father should get up on the stool, up there in public, v'leima, and announce as follows, pertaining to himself, Urva boy b'nei, even a raven has interest in his children and feeds them. Oh, Gavra, this fellow loy boy b'nei doesn't do that. Rashi has another pshat. It wasn't the fellow himself who yelled out, but it was the Shtiyat Tzibur who would get up and admonish this fellow in public. So even a raven cares more for his children than you do. Really? V'urva b'ay b'nei, and his, the raven actually cares and looks after his children? V'aksiv livnei oirav ashe yikro. We say this every morning in the Pesuk of the Zimra. Hashem looks after the young ravens who are calling out to him for sustenance because they're not being looked after by their parents. So we see a raven does not have that care and concern for his kids. Like Kasha, the answer is, it depends what they look like. Habachivri, when they're still young and they look, they're white, so the parents don't really identify with them. and therefore they don't feed them. Habu uchmi, once they grow up a bit and they turn black, now the black parents identify with them and they take care of them. Kiava asil kemei de Rava, when this fellow who is an uncaring father would come to Rava, Amalei, he would tell him, Nichalach, are you okay with the fact that you're not looking after your children? The mitzni b'naicha mitztaka, that your children should be sustained from stuck. It's embarrassing to you. It's not becoming. Go ahead and take care of your family. So all these people got very hearty advice, but it wasn't actually forced upon them because it wasn't really a takana, says the Gemara. But in some cases, we actually force. V'lei amaran, this concept of just letting it go, that's only eladali amit, when he wasn't really appraised at being able to provide, meaning he's not a wealthy person. Then we can't force him. Aval amit, but we know that he's an usher and he can certainly afford this. Kafinali akorcha, we actually force him. You know why? It's no different than staka. Ki hadu rava, like ravi, kafil rav nasan barami, he forced rav nasan, who was able to donate money and refused to do so, and he extracted from him a huge amount, 400 zuz for tzedakah. So apparently you can do that. Here as well, a father was uncaring, ungiving, and is able to provide, we force him to do so. Amr Abilah, Amr Ish Lakish, another takana of Usha. B'Usha is kinu. When the Sanhedrin was in Usha, they were masakin as follows. Totally unrelated to the previous sugya. It just happens to be another takana of Usha. What was the takana? A fellow decides, you know, I'm giving away all my properties to my children. And they take him literally by his word. Okay, it's ours starting from right now. So now the father is totally bankrupt. He's totally penniless. Who's going to sustain the father and the mother? The halacha is that him and his wife, the giver, the father, can actually still support himself using those nechasim. Because the assumption is that was the mindset of this fellow. Sure, I'm giving it away to you, but until I actually don't need it anymore, I still want to tap into these properties. Maskefla Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera asked the kash. Rabbi Tema, some say, Rabbi Shmo Bar Nachmeni. Is this a chiddush? Is this a novel chiddush? G'daylo mizu amro. You know, there was an even greater halacha, even a greater novelty that was already been that had been established in halacha. Alma nasa in zaynes min chasa. Halacha is that if a wife has properties, so the husband, he assumes possession of those properties, and we treat him as a buyer, like a leikeach. Right? He's like the first lien on those properties. First claim. Right? So let's say it turns out that there's somebody that had a claim which preceded the husband, so you can go ahead and extract those properties. But the halacha is that when it comes to supporting an almana, right, after a person's death, his almana needs to be supported, we cannot go ahead and extract properties. We can't tap into nechasim which the husband had sold during his lifetime. And the Gemara talks about it at great lengths in Baba Basra. So supporting a person, that's just, it's an undefined amount. It can be years and years of support. So a purchaser can't really look out for that. It's not something he can be careful from. And therefore, we don't hold it against him. And if you purchase a property, it turns out that your seller is owing, alimony and all that, that's something which he cannot extract from the leikeach. Okay, so that's the general halacha. So let's say a man passes away, and he leaves behind some nechas. His daughter is a yayush. She takes over the properties, and now she's married. His daughter's married. So his daughter's husband, which is the departed fellow's son-in-law, is now considered like a loikeach, right? We said the baal is considered like a purchaser pertaining to his wife's properties. So the son-in-law's wife was yerush these properties from her father, so now her husband sort of takes over those properties. What happens if the departed father left behind a wife, an alman, who needs to be supported? So typically, we don't really access sold properties to provide for an almana's needs, right? Because it's just an endless proposition. But in this case, the almana can access her former husband's properties, even though they were already handed over to his daughter and to her husband. A special takana. And Rashi explains, look, typically, we don't do that by a real purchaser who actually spent money on it and all that. But here, the husband here, the son-in-law, didn't spend a red penny on this field. He just got it free of charge by way of his wife. So it lends to this it's fear that we would have this arrangement, have the almana still supported from this fellow's properties. So G'dayla Mizu Amru. So this halacha is an even greater chiddush than the previous halacha. The previous halacha pertained to a person who gave away all his properties to children. So during his lifetime, until he no longer needs to be supported, until then he can still support himself in those properties. Here's an even greater halacha. Almanasin is zaynis min achasav. If a fellow passes away, his almana can have her min zaynis from his properties, even though they have already been handed over to his daughter and her husband. Is there any need to even speak about the first halacha that a person and his wife can still access their properties, which they had given away? They can still access their property while they're still around, because that's the presumed mindset. And this is a no halacha. The shalach Ravin Bigarte, Ravin sent a letter, halacha, Misha Meis Minech Almano Bas, a fellow passes away, leaves behind a wife and a daughter who is married to a husband, and she now assumes possession of the departed father's estate, almanasin is zaynis minachasim. The almana can still access the nachasim. So the daughter is not yet married. The almana can still access the nachasim. Nisus habas. Even if the daughter marries, and now the husband is in the picture, and he's sort of a caretaker of the properties, he's like a lekeach, still the halacha remains unchanged. Almanasin is zaynis minachasim. The almana can still access those nachasim. Mesa Habas, a third level, the daughter had passed away. And now her husband, who is the son-in-law of the departed fellow, now has sole rights. He totally assumes possession of those properties. The halacha remains unchanged. The almana can still use those properties. Amar Yehuda ben Achoise, the son of the sister, meaning the nephew, of who? Shor Beis Bechanina. He said like this, Al Yodei Yemaisa, I had a personal story. This type of shayla ba'amru, and the chacham determined that yes, almanasin is zaynis minachas, the almana can still access those nachas. So having known this halach, a property that's already sitting in somebody's hands, a daughter, a married daughter, a son-in-law, still the almana can go and access those nachas. Who be ishtem ibayi? Is there any need to even speak about that first case? It goes without saying. If I give away my property to my children, of course I still want access to it as long as I still need it. So what's the chiddush of Usha? Ma'od HaTema, perhaps there's a difference. Hasam hu delekha detarach. Maybe by the son-in-law. Look, nobody really did much to deserve this property. So the almana can still have access to it. I'm not taking much away from you. You didn't really earn it. Aval hachad nitrach lededeh lededah. But over here, when the couple is still around, Ma'od HaTema, perhaps there's room to differentiate between the almana, who's given that tzchus, because hasum udeleka detarach, over there, there's nobody to look after her. She's an almana, of course, the chachamim want her to be supported. So you can access those properties. Aval hacha, but over here, when the couple is still alive and well, nitrach lededah, let him look after himself and his wife. Why access your son's properties which you had already given over to him? Kamash one, the chiddush says no. The presumed mindset is that a person still wants to access his properties as long as he still needs them. Iboilus, the question is, hilchas hakavasei? Oy les hilchas hakavasei. So in the most recent halacha, most recent takanas usha, Rabbi Eloah tells us, you give away properties to your children, you still have access and rights to those properties as long as you're still around. The halacha follows that shita or not? Hilchas hakavasei? Oyleis hilchas hakavasei? Or perhaps the halacha does not follow Rabbi Eloah's shita. Tashma is a raya, and we do not accept the shita. So Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yenison. So they both were standing, Habukaimi. Asa Hogav, his fellow walks over. Gochni bends down, Vanashke, Rabbi Yonasan Akari. So Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yonasan was standing, and this fellow comes along, bends down and kisses Rabbi Yonasan on his feet. Omele Rabbi Chanina, so Rabbi Chanina asks Rabbi Yonasan, Mai Hai? What's the big event here? What's going on here? What's this intense show of appreciation coming forth? Omele, so Rabbi Yonasan responds, I'll explain to you what happened. Koisev Nechasel of Bonavu. This fellow gave away all his Nechasim to his children. But he needed to be supported until he no longer needs that. Vasisinu, and I forced the children, Lizani, to feed their father. So I went the extra mile. I went above and beyond to ensure this fellow is looked after. And that's why he's so happy about me. Iyamas b'shleima lav dina. So we have a right from here that the actual halacha would not follow this shita. Because apparently he was doing something extra for him. That's why he was showing such immense appreciation. I understand that if you say lav dina, that this was not required according to the letter of the law. He was not really entitled to those nechasim, the father that is. So I understand why Rabbi Yonasan had to go the extra mile and to go be matriach, she says, to get it going, to arrange for this fellow's support. And that's why this fellow was so happy. Eli Amras Dina, but if it's a basic halacha, a basic requirement, they have to support their father. Asiyinu boy, so why would he have to go and push? Lefnim Rishur Sadin, go the extra mile, and do all this effort to have it arranged. It was a plain, simple halacha. It would not be considered such a gemilas chasadim that would generate such a show of appreciation. So apparently, the halacha lemasa is not like the Takanas Rishon. Okay, so bottom line is, we learned about an Isha who's been handed over to the Shliach of the Baal. She's now considered somewhat married, pertaining to the Einish. It turns from Skila to Chenek, and even if she decides to turn back and go home, that halacha remains. We have a discussion regarding parents feeding their children. So as we explained, the name of Taisvis, until the minimum age of 6, there is an absolute chiyuv, but until the bar mitzvah, in Usha Doza Takana, which we did not really accept as halacha, although many shittas learn that there is a mitzvah to feed the children, even though there's no chiyuv, and in fact, we find several stories in the Gemara where the chachamim were not too happy about the fellow who was not uncaring about his family, the worst in the Erev, etc., etc. Then we ended with another Takanas Usha, in which the Gemara concluded was not really accepted lahalacha. However, Rabbi Yonasan certainly took on that the concept to the point that he went all out to ensure that the father would be properly looked after. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.